I have another Nick here on the station, the second Nick of the morning, Nick Peterson, a fisheries specialist with the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources, is with me by phone. Thanks so much, Nick, for being here this morning.
Hey, Katya. Yeah, thanks for the invite.
Yeah, so there were a lot of people at the Duluth Town Hall last week to hear about trout research, and so good to know that people are, one, there's a lot of people that like to fish, but two, there is a lot of interest and also a lot of concern, I think, about what's happening to the cold water fish in our region. So tell us a little bit about how this project came about in the first place.
Absolutely. Yeah, this project, I guess it stems back all the way to like pre-COVID, so pre-2020 time.
Okay.
And that's where the idea came from. So we've done a lot of work in the watersheds in this area, a lot of trout work, trout stream work, a lot of stream temperature monitoring, and a lot of that information had been used in models to predict, you know, what's going to happen to these cold water fish species such as brook trout in the face of climate change over time. And a lot of these models predict that really brook trout and steelhead rainbow trout and brown trout, pretty much all the salmonids that require some cold water aspect are scripted to be not do so well as this climate changes
right.
over time, particularly in our area. So it stemmed from that information, and then understanding or trying to get a better understanding of what will happen to these fish over time and how can we predict and protect how these populations are going to change in the face of that climate.
Yep. And then let's just hear, it is complicated, but also interesting to people. Like, what exactly are you doing and what's the purpose of the project? What are your hoped for goals?
Yeah, absolutely. The overall goal is to better predict what is going to happen to these brook trout and steelhead rainbow trout and everything I just mentioned within these watersheds over time, and basically try to figure out where can these fish survive as the climate changes. And ultimately, I think that can better inform those climate models that are going to predict, you know, what's going to happen to them over time. Ultimately, that's going to lead us to management decisions, management changes, anything like that we can do to support these fish to be around for, you know, your grandkids and my grandkids to actively fish for. That's the overall goal.
Right. And you got to do this by doing little chips in the fish.
Yeah, right. So that's the overarching goal. And the project has basically four objectives that are a little bit more specific, but we're basically looking to determine the seasonal movements, some of the habitat use of where these trout are throughout the season. We're going to do that, like you said, through putting microchips. So basically it's the same exact chip that's in your pet at home that the vet injects into your pet that they can scan and tell that that's yours. We're going to be putting that in upwards of 3,000 trout in the Knife and Stewart River watersheds over the next couple years here. And we're going to be determining whether that habitat use differs between streams that have native and non-native salmonids. So rainbow trout are not native to Lake Superior. They're a very popular sport fish for our area. A lot of people really enjoy them, particularly the Knife River as being a quote-unquote steelhead river, or one of the premier steelhead rivers on the North Shore.
Mm-hmm.
Does that differ between brook trout and steelhead and brown trout? And that's where the bringing in the Stewart River and the Knife River kind of comes in there.
Can I just interject a quick question, Nick?
Yep.
If the rainbow trout is non-native, did it come from out west or how did it get here?
Yeah, the rainbow trout was introduced to Lake Superior back in the late 1800s. And it actually started on the eastern side of the lake in Ontario and slowly worked its way around being introduced into Wisconsin and then Minnesota. And so they have been around for a long time. We call them naturalized. They're not native, but they're naturalized. Whereas if we did not stock any steelhead rainbow trout, there would still be steelhead rainbow trout in Lake Superior.
Okay.
And so that's where they fall in the pendulum of native, not native. They're actually naturalized.
Okay.
To make it confusing.
Okay. All right. And then let's share a little bit more. So once you have chips in these fish, then what?
Yeah, so we've got this really cool system where it's a passive monitor. So if you think about going to the grocery store and scanning your groceries, that's basically what's going to happen on the stream with these fish as they pass these antenna arrays. So it's a loop antenna array that's on the stream. It's battery powered. The little chip that's in the fish doesn't have a battery in it, so it will last the entire life of that fish. And as that fish swims over this antenna array that's placed across the stream, it'll scan it just like your groceries going across the scanner. So it'll give us a timestamp on when that fish passed that array, potentially which direction that fish was going, if it was headed upstream, headed downstream. And, you know, over time, if we place these throughout the watershed in different strategic areas, we can get a better idea of the seasonal habitat use, seasonal movements among these different species.
So your main thing is figuring out where the fish go and where and why, essentially. You know, what are their better habitats? And you also have some cameras from above to find the cold water spots. Tell us about that.
Right. So one thing I didn't mention with the fish movement is connectivity. So connectivity is a huge component to, particularly in this area for trout. They need to be able to find these cold water resources. So our streams, by and large, are sustained by very little groundwater, cold groundwater inputs, and a lot from snowfall and precipitation. So it's thermally marginal. And in order for these brook trout and other fish, they need to be able to move to find the cold water spots.
Mm-hmm.
We know where a few cold water spots are, but by and large, there's probably a lot more out there that we don't know where they are. So what we've done is partnered with the Minnesota PCA and Jeff Jasperson, and they actually found out they have a drone team that is starting to fly with thermal cameras mounted to a drone, and you can fly over these rivers and take pictures with this thermal camera. You get regular pictures of what the landscape looks like, and then you get an overlaid thermal imagery where we can pick out those cold water spots. And those are the hotbeds of where potentially those trout need to find in order to survive, particularly in the summertime up here with the warmer water.
Mm. And so are you going to be able to sort of hone it, like the arrays are just going to go out generally, but then as you get closer and closer to what you find, you move them to more and more strategic spots? Or is it more general than that?
It's a little bit more general. So the pit tag arrays themselves are stationary systems. They'll stay in basically the same places that we put them over time. But then what we will also do is be putting radio tags into fish, a different type of tag, and following up to 60 different fish to exactly where they are in the stream. So for an example, if they run up into a small tributary, we know they went up there. Where exactly did they go?
Yeah.
And throughout the year, we can get in there and find and then characterize that habitat and better understand the fine skill aspects of why that fish is where it is.
And how long is this going to go on? I know you're trying to get it through many seasons. You're not just going to whip them in and whip them out.
Right. Yeah, we hired a graduate student. So we partner with the University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point. There's two different folks there, Dr. Justin Vandehei and Dr. Josh Robbie. And they brought on a graduate student. Dylan Undland is going to be out there for the next 2 to 2.5 years.
Oh, wow.
Following these fish around after we tag them, downloading the data from the receivers and helping to compile all of this data that we're going to be collecting over the next 2 years.
Okay. So it's going to be a 2-year project. And I would think if you've started already, this spring will be pretty informative since there's been so little snow and snow melt.
Yeah. So obviously the landscape looks different now than it did about a week ago.
Right.
Before the snow, but it was a pleasant surprise to get a decent amount of snow in the woods to at least give us a little bit more base flow this spring. That being said, you know, it's always good to have a year with low water where connectivity might be an issue, and who knows what next year is going to bring. As everybody knows, the North Shore, it's hard to predict what it's going to be like. So,
and is the low water because, I mean, obviously low water is not good in a lot of ways, but does that mean that the water actually becomes too shallow for the fish to swim freely? Is that the issue?
So in some cases, yeah, that could be the issue, whereas some potential or partial barriers would become complete barriers or something like that. So any sorts of dams or culverts or any sort of blockage within the stream, you know, obviously during low water is going to be a little bit more pronounced, but it also impacts the water temperature and the water temperature fluctuation. So we get into these drought periods and it's a lot more stressful for these trout in general. You know, does that change their behavior in a year when they're stressed out more than when they're not?
Yeah. Yep. And then now you're going to, once you have your information compiled, you know, what can be done about it? I know there's talk of tree planting and what else, what do you see as viable solutions?
Yeah, I think the data in large, I say this is a fish movement project, but by and large, it's a fish habitat project. So we're trying to identify where those critical habitat components are that these fish need in the landscape.
Yep.
And once we can hone in on some of that, we can start to work with our other partners with the Forest Service or, you know, Lands and Minerals or Minnesota DNR Forestry. We can work with all these different partners, local landowners, to, well, number one, inform people on where those important habitats are.
Right.
And potentially have some support to, or some background information that would support protecting those areas in the future. So making sure that we're not eliminating some of these critical cold water habitat resources that those fish need.
Yeah. Yep. And I would guess that there's people that have fished their whole life in these streams that do have some idea, like when they wade in the streams, where the water is suddenly cold. I mean, maybe, or maybe it's really too hard to tell that way. I don't know. But I thought of that when you were mentioning that.
Yeah. Yeah. The locals, it's hard to get secrets out of fishermen. but I did get a couple of secrets out of some fishermen from the meeting on where some cold water resources
Interesting.
Are.
Interesting. So, yeah. Oh, that's great. All right. Well, I'm speaking with Nick Peterson, a fisheries specialist with the Minnesota DNR. Nick, we're pretty much out of time, but is there anything that I forgot to ask you that you'd like to mention?
I did not. I would just like to say thanks, Katya, for helping promote this. And I would like anybody, you know, landowners or anybody within these watersheds, the Stewart Knife River watershed, that would like to get involved with the project or help support it, reach out to me. Don't hesitate to give me a call and chat with me about it more.
Yep. Yep. Seems like it's a project that will really benefit from a lot of local participation. Thank you so much, Nick. And maybe we'll have you on again, or maybe we'll get Dylan on once this project is well underway. That'd be fun.
Absolutely.
All right. You take care. Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.
Thank you. You too.
That was Nick Peterson with the Minnesota DNR.